It's been our pleasure to have Brother Davis here and his wife today. And right now, Mrs. Davis is going to come up and sing a song before Brother Davis preaches. And again, make sure you shake their hand tonight before they have to take off and look at their table.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. Thank you.
We're at that age, we need to help one another. Oh man, boy, she's been up with me 35 years. Imagine that. Wonderful. Yeah, it is. It's great. God knows, I tell you. It's been wonderful being here today, preacher, and appreciate you having us. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. I mean that, there's over 200 something preachers and churches I pray for every day. And really now when we go back, our prayers are a lot more personal and can see kind of what God is doing here. And we're just really supportive of you and can't wait to hear some great things that God's going to do here this year. And pray that you'll continue to do God's will as he sees fit. This morning, if you remember, we talked about, it pays to serve God. And tonight, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 22 in your Bibles, if you will. Genesis chapter 22. It's interesting how the teams tonight have been practicing several weeks on this song, and it happened to be my message. So you already did the forelong of my message. I appreciate that. Genesis chapter 22. Let's stand one more time as we honor God by the reading of his precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And then I want you to look at verse 13 with me. In verse 13, the Bible says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you tonight, and we're so thankful, Lord, for our salvation. We're so thankful, Lord, for the salvation of the young man this morning. And Lord, we're so thankful for other decisions that were made this morning. God, how you met with your people once again. So God, as we come here tonight, if there's anyone in this audience does not know the sweet Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, there's just no reason for anyone to leave this place tonight. After hearing the truth and hearing your word, as it's written in its purity, about man, about God, and about salvation and eternal life, there's no reason for us to leave this place and not know Christ and not trust Christ. So God, but the wonderful thing is about you, you give us our free will. And I just pray within that free will, our eyes will be open and we'll see the truth for what it is. So God, I just pray that someone will come to a saving knowledge of Christ tonight and trust Christ as Savior. For every Christian that's here today, tonight, Lord, I pray once again that you'll use our lives for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' sweet precious name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, in the fourth verse, big things happen in the Bible on the third day. And, you know, after these things, it has been in my heart today as I've been speaking to you to preach on the life of Abraham. And so we preached, as I said this morning, on the thought that it pays to serve God. I want us to come to Genesis chapter 22 tonight, to the triumphant test of Abraham. And my thought for you this evening is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar? You know, it wasn't long after Abraham began walking with God that God brought him to the crossroads of his life. But God put Abraham through a test. And there God tried Abraham's faith. But Abraham put his all on the altar. He came out on the other side of the test. He passed it with flying colors. What we have here in Genesis chapter 22 is another altar scene in the life of Abraham. See, when you get Abraham around an altar, he's on familiar ground. He's not a stranger to an altar. My friends, it was at an altar was the first time that he met the God of glory and the God of heaven. His father and his mother and his brother and all in his family were heathens. His brother was an idol maker. And you know, and all Abraham knew about God was statues made of wood and stone and clay. But one night at an old-fashioned altar, he meets the living God. He meets the God of glory. He meets El Shaddai. My dear friends, he meets a God that is real and holy and powerful. And when you find Abraham at an altar, he's on familiar ground. For it was at an altar the first place he meets God. Aren't you glad, dear friend, tonight that there's been an altar place in your life where you had an encounter with the God of heaven? My friends, I don't mean you had some kind of religious experience or made some religious decision. I mean you met God at the altar of salvation. And my friend, here's another altar scene in the life of Abraham. We've seen Abraham at the altar of prayer, and we've seen Abraham at the altar of sacrifice. Now we see Abraham at the altar of surrender. I tell you what I see a lot of our problems are. Many, many times we'll see over the years, you know, a person, we got the altar of prayer down. We do. We know how to pray. And what happens is we'll move from the altar of prayer to the altar of surrender. But it's not time yet, you see, because we got to go to the altar of sacrifice. That's our service to the Lord. And see, and just like any good teacher, God takes us through a trial, and then he tests us. And so before you leave the altar of prayer, God's got to test you there. And then when he's approved of you, of your prayer, then he moves you on to your sacrifices and your service to the Lord. Once he approves of that, now it's time to come to the altar of surrender. See, we got too many people trying to surrender their lives who've never served the Lord with their life. And so we need to go from the altar of prayer to the altar of sacrifice and our service to the Lord and to the altar of surrender. So you see, my dear friends, God brings Abraham to a place in his life where Abraham decides to love God. He's going to serve God, go with God more than anything else in this world. And my dear friends, you never know how good something is until you put it to a test. And I'll tell you what a test would do to a believer. It'll make you a bitter Christian, or it'll make you a better Christian. And my dear friend, when I was a pastor, I saw some folks who said they loved God, and they acted like they loved God. But a test came into their life, and it made them bitter. And they turned their back on God, and they turned their back on the church, and they turned their back on everything. But I've seen others that were just kind of straddling the fence. They'd come to church Christmas and Easter, maybe Mother's Day, just trying to hobble along. And then I've seen a test and a storm come into their life, and it brought repentance in their heart, and that test and that storm brought them to a closer, more intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want the storms and the tests in my life to make me a bitter Christian. There's enough of them already. I want it to make me a better Christian. Can I get an amen? I want to live in the realm where we think it not strange when our faith is tried like gold is tried in a fire. My dear friends, from these verses tonight, very quickly, I want to give you some things about this test of faith in the life of Abraham. First of all, number one, it was a prepared test. It was a prepared test. If you notice again there in verse 1, it came to pass after these things. It came to pass after these things. God didn't just bring this stuff on Abraham out of the blue. God had prepared this test for him. It didn't come to pass before these things, and it didn't come to pass during these things, but it came to pass after these things. There were some things that transpired in Abraham's life before this chapter that brought him to this place. My friends, and it all begins back in Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham was meeting God under the stars of heaven. God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave your homeland. God says, I want you to go out to a place where you've never been. My dear friends, can you imagine the faith that it took to do that? Can you imagine Abraham going up to Mama Sarah and saying, honey, we're moving? And, Sarah being a woman, asking me in the 55 questions, where are we going? I don't know. Well, how far is it? I don't know. Well, what's the house of the new church going to look like? I don't know. I haven't seen it. How far are we going to be from Mama? A long way, baby. I don't know. You say it didn't bother Sarah none. No, but I bet it tore Sarah's mother's nerves up. I mean, he had to step out by faith and go to a place where he had never been. He had to look for that city whose builder and ruler was God. I want you to know that Abraham passed that test. He pulled up stakes and he went on for God. Because see, he was not going to let the land of his birth or his comfortable surroundings to rob him of his faith life. I know some fellas, they'll never do anything for God because they're not willing to move. Now, you may not have to go across the world to serve God, but you must. You may not have to move 1,000 miles away or 500 miles away to serve God, but you ought to be willing to do or go wherever God wants you to go and be able to serve God, to enjoy the peace and the perfect will of God in your life. That was the first test. And Abraham passed it with flying colors. You know the story. When he left he took his nephew Lot, and him and Lot were doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, one day, Abraham decides, I've got to go with God. And there became a strife between Abraham's men and Lot's men. And by the way, Abraham is a picture of the spiritual man, and Lot is a picture of the carnal man. Finally, he comes to the crossroads where God says, Abraham, if you're going to keep pursuing me in the spirit world, then there's some lots that you've got a lot out of your life. You see, and I do believe that there comes a time in every Christian's life when we're going as far as we're going until we lot out some lots in our life that need to be lotted out. I believe it broke Abraham's heart. I mean, he just loved that boy. When he got into trouble, Abraham went down to Sodom, and he rescued that boy. I believe it broke Abraham's heart to have to separate himself from Lot. But he realized that the spirit cannot walk with the flesh. There's always going to be a warfare. God brings Abraham to a place in his life where he loves God more than he loves Lot, where he loves God more than he loves his family, where he loves God more than he loves anything. Abraham separates from Lot, and he goes on for God. He passed that test. Abraham listened to his wife. Oh, man, he's in trouble now. I'm only kidding, ladies. Now, don't get mad. The boogeyman will get you. But Abraham listens to his wife, and he gets out of God's will and has a child by the name of Ishmael. And by the way, God never puts his power or his blessings on Ishmael. See, and by the way, God kept his promise. One day, Isaac came like God said he would, and everything was going pretty good in Abraham's life. Ishmael wasn't giving him too much problems until one day Isaac was born. And by the way, dear Christian, the devil didn't bother you very much either till there was a little Isaac born in your heart by the name of Jesus Christ. And then all these problems between Ishmael and Isaac started and began. Finally, God said, Isaac, you've got to cut it off. You've got to cut that which is not born of my will, that which is born of the plans and the strategy of the flesh. Abraham, you've got to get rid of that. Boy, you don't need Ishmael now. You've got laughter. You don't need Ishmael now. You've got joy. You don't need Ishmael now. You've got Isaac. I don't believe that Isaac enjoyed that day that he led Hagar and Ishmael out of the wilderness and turned his back on all of that. But you see, God was bringing Abraham to a place in his life where it was God and nothing else, where it was Jesus and nothing else. And God is cutting and trimming, and he removing everything from Abraham that's going to hinder him from being a pilgrim and a stranger. I believe there comes a time in every child of God's life where God starts pulling and pulling and cutting and trimming and working on us to bring us to the place where it's God and God alone. So far, Abraham has passed every test in his life. I mean, he's been to kindergarten. He's been to elementary school. He's been to middle school. But buddy, now he's getting ready to graduate. And he comes to the big test in his life. And you come to Genesis chapter 22, where God says, Hey, Abraham, I've got your family. I've got you out of your homeland. I've got Lot. I've got Ishmael. But Abraham, there's one more test. I know that you got victory over your homeland and that you love me more than you love your homeland. I know that you love me more than you love Lot. I know that you love me more than you love Ishmael. But Abraham, I want to know, do you love me more than you love Isaac? Boy, that's a biggie. But can't you see the mercy and the grace and the tenderness of God? Because God didn't bring this ultimate test in his life until after these things. God had tenderly and graciously led him to this place. God did not spring this big test on him till Abraham had passed all the other little tests. God didn't put this big test on Abraham and his intimate wisdom till he knew that Abraham was ready for this. There's a doctrine in the Bible called the providence of God. You can't deny it. God's hand is in the glove. He's working behind the scenes. He's directing your life and mine. Dear friend, just look back over your life. You could not have sat down and planned your life any better than God has planned it. He's led you from victory to victory. Say amen. He led you from mountain to mountain. Say amen. He's led you from triumph to triumph. Somebody say amen. Brother, God didn't ask for Isaac until he had Ishmael. My dear friend, he didn't ask for Ishmael till he got Lot. And he didn't ask for Lot until he got his homeland. And he didn't ask for his homeland till he met him at an altar, made him a promise, and gave him blessed assurance. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God prepares us every day of our life for the storms and the tests and the trials that's going to come in the life of a believer? Reminds me of an old song we used to sing down in the backwoods of Georgia. And the shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. Everybody help me, but praise God, all through the blood. All the way my Savior leads me. He's not forsaken me. He's not forsaken me in the battle. For standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll prepare you. He'll lead you. We've come this far by faith, clinging on the Lord. Now, you're not here tonight by luck or by chance. Because luck failed your way. This is by divine appointment. We've been led here. We've been brought here. This is a large place. We're in the will of God. And God has tenderly and graciously led us to this place. It's God working in your life. Some folks live off of luck and chance and four-leaf clovers and petals off of mom's grave in your Bibles and rabbit's foot. By the way, that rabbit's foot didn't help that rabbit none. In fact, there's a 3-foot rabbit running around in this church tonight looking for his foot that's in your pocket. You see, my dear friend, there's a sovereign God in the realms of glory who's working behind the scenes. And he knows the way that I take, and he knows the way that you take. If you'll just trust God, you'll get to the place where you ought to be after these things. It's a prepared test. And second of all, number two, it's a personal test. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 again in Genesis 22. In verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Oh, you see there, my friend, brother, right now, there's nobody in this picture but God and Abraham. My friend, this is between God and Abraham. Verse 2, it says, "Take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, get thee." Notice the personal pronouns, thou and thine and thee. God and Abraham is doing business. Aren't you glad that he's a personal God? Aren't you glad that he's a personal Savior? You know, I grew up in my daddy's home. And I mean, he was an old-fashioned, rip-snorting, wind-sucking, 5-row spitting, 7-row jumping Baptist preacher. I mean, honey, honk her down and let her rip. Amen. I got a good dose of it myself. Amen. But you know what? For the first 16 years of my life, I watched God working in everybody else's life. But you know what? At the age of 16, one day I waved the white flag of surrender, and I didn't have to watch God work in your life. I can watch him work in my life. I'm glad that he's your Savior, but I'm more glad that he's my Savior. I'm glad that he's your Lord, but I'm more glad that he's
my
Lord. I'm glad that he's your God, but I'm more glad that he's my God. He's merciful.
Amen. That's right. Good. Amen.
Surrender our all to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah for that day when you too will wave that flag of white flag of surrender. God said to Abraham, we're going to do some personal business. Verse 2, he says, take thine only son. And you know what that tells me? That God wanted his all. He said, you've only got Isaac, and he's the one I want. You know, a lot of times the very thing that God wants is the thing that we won't give him. You know, I wouldn't have any problem giving up smoking and drinking and drugs because I don't do them. But you know why? Notice a lot of preachers preach on stuff that they don't do. See, their convictions are things that they don't have a problem with. But boy, that stuff you got a problem with, they're ripping out. What am I saying? It's not a problem to give up something that you're not doing. Something that you don't love. Something that doesn't have a hold of your life. But my dear friends, you see, God knows your hang-ups. And he knows mine. God knows the dearest things to our heart. And I believe tonight that God knows where our affections are. Notice the Lord said, thine only son, whom thou lovest. He didn't want what Abraham despised. He didn't want what Abraham hated. He wanted what Abraham loved. And oh, dear Christian friend, what is it that you love more than you love God? What sin is it in your life?
Come on.
You want that though, that you love.
Come on now. That's right.
What is it that you're hanging on to? What is it you want that God has?
Come on. Talk there, well. That's right.
What is it that you love more than you love him?
Yeah, come on.
What is it that you love in your life more than the will of God and the rest and the peace that only God can give by being in his perfect will? I don't know what it is in your life, but I know what it is in mine. Now don't look at me like you're sanctified. You all got them little Isaacs running around in your life, in your house too. We all, if we're not careful, we have all these things in our lives that will rob us and dominate our spiritual life. You may say, I've given God my best. That's not good enough. He wants your all. All of his plans, all of his dreams, all of Abraham's hope for the future was wrapped up in this little boy, Isaac. God had given Abraham a promise. I'm going to bless you through Isaac. I'm going to raise up a seed through Isaac. God says, I want him on the altar. And God says, Abraham, I want you to love me more than you love Isaac, even that I gave you. You talk about faith. The Bible says he rose up early in the morning. He was willing to go all the way with God. Abraham is at the point in his life, my friends, when he's patterned his life after God more than he's patterned after anything else. He's wanting God's approval more than he wants anybody else's approval. I believe there comes a time in our life when God says, you can have me if you want me. You can have my touch. You can have my anointing. You can have my power if you want me. But I believe we have to come to that place, dear Christian, where we want God, where we desire God, where we love God more than anything or anyone in this world.
Amen.
Comes to a place where we all have to put our Isaacs on the altar and say, God, it's just you. And you alone.
That's right.
It was not only a prepared test. It was not only a personal test. But third, it was also a profitable test. He passed the test. He gets the wood. He places it on Isaac. And he told the two witnesses, now y'all wait right here and we're going to go worship. Genesis chapter 15, by the way, is the first time you find fear not and shield in the Bible. And then in Genesis chapter 22 is the first time you'll find the words love and worship in the Bible. It's amazing, the first time you read about love in the Bible, it's about a father giving up his son. The greatest love ever known was when God gave up his son for sinners that we might be saved. The first time you read about the word worship in the Bible, somebody's giving their very best and putting their all on the altar.
Man, that's right.
So they'll be in a position to worship God in spirit and in truth. He says to the two witnesses, we're going to go worship and we will come again. That's a revelation that Abraham believed in the resurrection power of God. I want to tell you how much of a fundamentalist I am. I believe that Abraham had so much faith in God that somehow he believed if he had to kill Isaac, that God would raise him up again. Because he already had God's word on it. And when you got God's word on it, you can charge hell with a water gun. Yes, sir, we're going to go worship God. Let me just say tonight, dear friend, in closing, he said, I've been close to God before. He said, I plan on getting real close this morning. I've come too far to turn back now. Say that with me, dear Christian. I've come too far to turn back now. Say it with me. I've come too far to turn back now. Say it one more time. I've come too far to turn back now.
Amen. That's right.
It's all right to worship God.
Amen.
You know, my dear friends, I believe there's three things everybody ought to do before they die. That is get saved, win somebody to Christ, have one good spell before you leave this world, and just worship God. By the way, the word worship tells God how much we think he's worth. There's the altar, there's the fire, and there's the man. Isaac says, where is the lamb? And Abraham says to Isaac, by faith, God will provide himself a lamb. I see him coming. Where God guides, he also provides. Is your all on the altar? Is your all on the altar tonight? Oh, dear Christian, what is it in your life that you love more than you love him? What is it in your life that you just will not let him have? You know, I found out years ago that the biggest battle in the Christian's life, that tug on board, that twist back and forth, is just not letting God have what he wants. Once you let him have it, it's wonderful. All the battle, all of the resistance, all of the challenges is not letting God have it. I don't know what it is in your life, but I know what it was in my life. There came a time in my life when I just wanted to go so far for God and God to spit, and you just go on and find somebody else. Then there came a time when that just wasn't good enough no more. Folks, I guarantee you that you'll never have the life that God has signed you to have. Not because you give God your best, give him your all. Let him have everything. Let him have your all, and you'll never let it seem to regret the promise. Is your all on the altar? It pays to serve God. You come to the altar in a prayer, you've got that down, you pass that test. What about your altar of sacrifices? Do you serve God? Do you serve in your local church? Do you go soul winning and knocking on doors? Do you teach a class? Do you usher? What is it that you do in serving God? Having passed that test, there's no way to get into the altar of surrender. It's only when we've been tested and approved by God and our service for him that God comes to us and says, look, now that you passed these two altars, you passed these two tests, now I want your life. I want it all. But see, until you do this, you're never going to get in your all. It's when we pass these two tests that we're at the place where, just like Abraham, Abraham wasn't ready for this big test, but he passed all these other little tests. When you pass these two tests, you'll be ready for the altar of surrender. And then you'll be willing to surrender your life to the Lord. And let God just have your life. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. Please, no one looking around. No one please leave your room for a moment. Now maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking that, you know, this is just a bunch of waste of time. Well, you know what? One day every knee is going to bow before God.
That's right.
Every knee's going to bow and talk, they call him Lord and Lord. And you know what? You may fool us, you may fool the preacher, you may fool your parents, but I guarantee you, only God knows our heart. We cannot fool God. And you know what? If all we had to do was be a church member or be baptized or try to do good deeds for our fellow man, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. God gave his very best. Not only that, he gave his all. And who are we to do any less? Salvation is free, my friend. It's a free gift. But then, with that comes a lifetime of service and love and devotion toward our Lord and our Savior. How about you tonight? Has God spoken to your heart? If you died at this very moment, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven and spend your time in heaven with the Lord? Stop playing games. You know. Stop playing games with God. Stop playing because today is the day the Lord has given you. Tomorrow you may not even be here. No, this is serious business. You must realize that you're a sinner. You must realize there's nothing that you can do to pay for your sin. And you must realize that you must turn from your wicked way and turn from your sin and turn from whatever you're trusting and turn to Christ. And just trust what Jesus did in his death and his burial and his resurrection. And maybe you're a Christian here tonight. And maybe you're one of those pew sitters that all you do is just come in and take in and take in. You never give. And you know, you never give of your time, you never give of yourselves, and you never serve the Lord. Well, there's a reason why God left you here and didn't take you home when he saved you. Every one of us in this room have, you know, not a one of us ever lied. We all have areas in our life where God wants our all. Tonight we want to give an invitation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, tonight's the night. Why don't you come down to this old-fashioned altar, let one of us take the word of God and show you from the scriptures how you can be sure that you too can have eternal life. And dear Christian, don't let pride be the best of you. Don't let that thing that's got a hold of your life that you love more than him. Give it to God tonight. For once and for all, let God have it tonight. Whatever it is in your life, deal with it. You visit with God tonight, will you please? Let me stand. Lord Jesus, we show your love and mighty. We're so thankful for the word of God. And God, thank you for your forgiveness and your long suffering and your mercy. Lord, each and every one of us have denied ourselves of your marvelous blessings. Because, Lord, there's those things in our lives that you want, we will give you. Lord, whatever they are, may we put our all on the altar tonight. May we put all our sacrifice, all the things that we love, more than we love you. So that there's nothing else left, just you, Lord. For it's us and God alone. God, bring us to that place. Bring us to the crossroads that you brought Abraham. For Lord, it was you and you alone. God, help us to give our all to you tonight. Maybe there's some person here tonight that wants to surrender their life to full-time Christian service. Say, Lord, I'm going to give my life. Here's my life. Lord, I just want you to take my life and use it, whatever your will is. Maybe you just want to surrender to the will of God tonight. Why don't you please come and tell me with your pastor? Pastor, I want to submit my life to the will of God tonight. Whatever it is that God is doing, why don't you please come as we sing?
Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Very good message there. What's holding you back tonight, Christian? Every head bowed, every eye closed. What's holding you back? Talking to you Christians right now. What is holding you back from having the very best that God can give you? You know, there probably needs to be several people here at the altar tonight saying, okay, God, I'll give you all. I want the best that you have to give me, but I know that I cannot have the best until I kneel at the feet of the one who is best, which is Jesus Christ. You know, what is it, Christian? What are you holding on to tonight? What is it that God wants? That He's Holy Spirit has dealt with you in your heart right now, and He says, I want it, I want it, I want it, and you are being kept from having the very best that God wants to give you. Maybe you're here tonight, unsaved one, maybe you're here tonight, you don't know if you'd have died today, you'd go to heaven. And what is it that's holding you back? Is it a friend? Is it your pride? Is it because, is it somewhat, well, I'm just afraid of what people will think? You know, let me tell you something. There's going to come a time that all that will not matter. Your friends, your what people think, your pride will not matter. There's going to come a time if you decide to hold off and Jesus comes back or your life is taken because life is but a vapor, there's going to come a time all these excuses for not getting saved will not matter. You know, what is it that's holding you back from being saved? Tonight, if you need to do business with God, Christian, won't you do it tonight? Is your all on the altar tonight? Why don't you just surrender it all? If you're unsaved tonight, won't you do business? Why not lay it all out to Jesus Christ tonight at the altar? The music's going to play. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Come on. Come on now. But wasn't it a grand day that when we all came to that altar and we surrendered our life to Jesus and got saved? And isn't it even a better day, Christian, when you go ahead and on a regular basis, we often have to come to the altar and have, after a message like this, and be reminded, is my all on the altar? You know, are we holding back? Jesus wants it all. He wants every single, you know, you want real joy and real peace in your life? You give it all to Jesus Christ. You know, the happiest life I know is what I'm doing right now. You know, the most miserable people I know are the ones that's out in the world tonight scoffing what we're doing. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, and we want to reach them. We want to do everything we can. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Their day is going to come when they're going to go ahead and look back and say, man, I wish I'd listened to that preacher. I wish I'd gone ahead and listened. Boy, so that soul winner came by my door, and they tried to lead me to Christ, and I went and laughed them to scorn. I slammed my door, the door in their face, and there's going to be a payday one day, and they're going to wish I had listened. You know, I just want to say this, you know, and I'm not going to prolong this invitation, but, you know, heaven is real. But just as sure as heaven is real, hell is just as real. Hell is hot. Hell was only created for the devil and his angels, but so many people have turned away that have turned away from Jesus Christ. That's going to be their eternal destiny. But you know there's a way out of it. That's only through Jesus Christ. Not through the Baptist church or the Catholic church or this preacher or anybody else, but through Jesus Christ. Boy, it'd be a shame to go to hell from a Bible-believing independent Baptist church. From hearing the messages like this, week in and week out, or even one time, and go ahead and go to hell from a Bible-believing independent Baptist church. You know, is your all on the altar? Very good, very good. We could just keep going, but you know, I'm going to end it with that. Take your songbook. We always close with this hymn every Sunday evening, hymn number 300. If you need it, take the name of Jesus with you. Take Him with you this week, everywhere you go. Take the name of Jesus with you. We'll sing all three verses. Amen. Hymn number 300, if you need it.